Welcome to KGFX Beyond the Mic. I'm News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra. After over 50 years in radio broadcasting, with almost 44 of those years working for the Dakota Radio Group, Mark Swenson will retire this month. Who you know can help shape your career, and that was certainly the case for Mark. All right, Mark Swenson, wrapping up a lengthy career in radio broadcasting in South Dakota here at the end of May 2018. Let's start with what first brought you and your wife, Linda, to here.
Whoa, that's a long story, Jody. I was at a radio station in Minot, North Dakota, early in my career, and I met a man there, a guy by the name of Jerry Gutenson, whose daughter actually does some work for us yet here at Dakota Radio Group. And I had left there and gone to Iowa, and he had left there and came here to Pierre. And he was looking for, at that time, a program director, announcer, and he called me, and since I knew him and whatnot, decided to take the job here.
When you got to Pierre, how many years had you been working in radio before you got to Pierre?
I think about eight. I started in 1969. So
Did you know Pierre was going to be home for a lot of years when you got here?
No, the funny story, and I've told it often, is when we moved here, we were actually moving from Old Line, Iowa, to here in a rented U-Haul truck. I was driving the truck, and my wife was following behind in our car with our two, at the time, I think, two-year-old kids, and they're not twins. And we came up Highway 83. It was August. My first day at work was August 17th. We were coming up Highway 83. It was 117 degrees or 112 degrees or whatever it is. And we saw the Bad River Bluffs there on the south side of Fort Pierre with, you know, just those piles of dirt that are there. And I told my wife, I said, this is going to be a very short stop in our career. That was in 1974.
So 44 years later, finally going to hang up the headphones and the microphone here in Pierre and all with the Dakota Radio Group radio stations here.
Yep, when I got here, it was KGFX.
And it's built a little since then.
Yeah, in 1981, we added KGFX FM and then just kind of kept going from there. But when I got here, it was just KGFX.
What was radio like? How was it operating? What's different? What was it like then versus how we do things now?
Well, the way we do things has vastly changed, but radio really itself as a medium hasn't, I want to be careful how I say this, but it really hasn't changed a lot in that we try to serve our local community and be involved in the local community. So that's been that way since I've been here. Radio still reaches like 96% of the population on a weekly basis. It's still a very viable medium. What's changed is the technological end of it, and that's changed dramatically in that, you know, when I first got into this business, we were using reel-to-reel tape recorders, and we were using vinyl records, of course, you know, now everything is in the computer. Everything is digital. You can't find tape in this building anymore.
You can find an occasional CD if you try.
Yeah, I mean, we went from vinyl records to CDs to now everything's in the computer. We still have some of the CDs around, but they don't get used. There's no CD players in the building, so we got the CDs, but no players.
Right. Mark, throughout your time here at the Dakota Radio Group, you've played a lot of roles. Taken care of a lot of different aspects of the radio business. When you started, you were program director and on the air.
Yes.
What did that mean?
Well, I did that for a while, and I really enjoyed that. I worked with some good people. Tony Dean was here at that time. A lot of people will remember Tony. But after a couple of years, I think it was, or a year or so, I wanted to dip my hand into the sales aspect of the other part of the business, so to speak. And so I did, for a time, I did on-air part-time and sales part-time, and then decided that I wasn't doing justice to either and that I needed to make a decision, and I decided to go into sales. Following that, then, in in 1970-something. I came here in 74, must have been 76. Jerry Gutenson, who I mentioned earlier, Bob Ingstead had bought a station in Minot, North Dakota, and Jerry was originally from up in that area, as was I guess. But Bob decided to move Jerry to Minot to run that radio station, and I was offered the job as general manager. I was 29 at the time. it was quite an experience. Over the years, I worked directly with Bob Ingstead then, who was started out as my employer, obviously, and then also became my mentor and then also became a very good friend. And did a lot of work with him and in acquiring radio stations around the country and selling radio stations around the country, helping other radio stations. So I did a fair amount of traveling in my career and worked with a lot of startup operations in different markets.
So some of the, you know, promotions, you mentioned earlier that, you know, radio is still local. We're here to serve our local communities and our listeners and our people that we get to interact with, whether it be, you know, calling this station or buying something off of one of our auctions or, you know, doing remotes at businesses. What are some of the promotions? Or first, let's start with promotions. Some of the fun promotions or activities you've gotten to do as part of your time here at Dakota Radio Group.
You know, we've done a lot of promotions over the years. I couldn't even remember, begin, Jody, to talk about all of them. One that I remember was we did a $10,000 heist, which was kind of fun. We had $10,000 spread in a vault down at, I'm trying to remember the bank. It's not here anymore. Can't remember right now. And we gave the winner had the opportunity to go into that vault with $10,000 in $1 bills spread out on the floor and everything all over that vault. And whatever they could put into their personal, they had to wear just street clothes, whatever they could put into their onto their body, so to speak, and walk out of the vault after 106 seconds or 1060. They kept it. I don't remember what the final amount was, but it was several thousand dollars. So
another that's been mentioned to me that you were very involved with is the suicide ride.
Yeah, and that was the next one actually that I was going to bring up. That was awesome, but it became too. The insurance and things at that point, even though we had riders sign release letters, the liability aspect of it became kind of high. It ran for about 10 years, as I recall.
For those of us who weren't here, what was it?
Well, it was a wild idea, actually drummed up by Jerry Gutenson and Tom Hughes. While Jerry was still here, this was before I started managing the station. It's just a wild-ass horse race, is what it was, over at Fort Pierre Fairgrounds. It started off on the horse track and then ran off up what we call Buffalo's Back, the big hill, and south side of the fairgrounds there, and through a water hazard, and it was just crazy. It drew national attention. There were two different television programs that are now out of business or no longer on the air that came out and filmed it. One was with ABC Television, and I forget the other one. Can't remember the names of the programs now, but it got nationwide coverage. It was fun.
Sounds like cowboys and cowgirls being cowboys and cowgirls.
That's exactly right.
Kind of exactly what we're known for in this area.
Yep. And met some great people. You know, the riders, the contestants in that, they came from Minnesota, Iowa, North and South Dakota. Met some great people. It was fun promotion.
And radio, obviously, you know, we have a website and podcasts and phone apps and things, but, you know, it all plays back to sound and audio and voice. And I understand Secret Sound was another activity that you were instrumental in.
Yeah, we used to run a promotion called Secret Sound. What we would do is record a sound and then people using the exact wording to describe the sound had to tell us what the sound was. We played the sound on the air and people would call in and they would guess. And then as it progressed, we would start giving out clues as to what the sound was. But we had some pretty outrageous sounds. One was that I recall because we were trying to the promotion was going to start and we hadn't figured out what we wanted to do for a sound yet. And I just racking my brain, and finally, back in the day, I grabbed an ashtray, ran down to the men's room, filled the sink full of water, put the ashtray in the bottom of the sink, and I had happened to have a cat's eye marble that I then dropped into that ashtray. And I can still remember the exact wording. I can still remember the exact wording of that particular secret sound. It was dropping a cat's eye marble into a submerged glass ashtray.
Wow.
And that's that. It's funny I can remember that because that promotion was probably 25, 30 years ago.
And somebody got that.
Eventually, yeah, with the clues
with
and everything.
The clues
yep,
and such.
Yep.
Wow. Any other promotions that stick out for you?
Like I said, Jody, there's been so many. I mean, they're good. One of the things that I really like that we have done, started several years ago, was we brought in the Dakota Cruiser, and we like using that for remotes and putting it in parades and things like that. So that's more of a station image thing as opposed to a promotion. But we have participating sponsors that are tied into that, and it's just a nice vehicle. Draws a lot of attention when we go out and do remote broadcasts and when we're in parades and stuff.
Absolutely. You know, and you've mentioned it earlier that, you know, and we've a couple times now, you know, local radio stations, we're here to serve our listeners and public and benefit, you know, try to help and benefit the world. And sometimes the things we have to do include a coverage of floods, which have happened in Pierre, or severe snowstorms and things like that. How we are able to provide information to our listeners, how's that changed throughout the years, your years in radio here?
Well, if you're just talking about radio, it hasn't changed. Speaking specifically of the flood, I was very proud of KGFX's Dakota Radio Group's coverage of that flood. We basically went full-time flood coverage at that point. I came out of on-air retirement and actually pulled, a 4-hour shift in the afternoon, disseminating information, getting updates from weather people, the Corps, actually broadcasting the Corps conference calls when they were doing that with officials. And all those sorts of things. And we were recognized for doing that by members of the community. And it really felt good because that's what we're about. You know, we never want to see those disasters happen, but they're going to happen. And when they do happen, I like to think KGFX is, and the Dakota Radio Group is there to cover that.
Technology, has it made it easier to get hold of some of the officials and thus provide even faster details and information for people?
Oh, sure. The technology has sped up everything in life. And at the same time,
for better or worse.
And yeah, I was going to say, and at the same time, all this social media has really slowed down stuff too, because people, and I'm like everybody else. We spend too much time probably on social media. I'm not a Facebook fan, but, I do Twitter. And, spend more time with that than I probably should. I feel guilty sometimes. But it's also a way to stay on top of kind of what's going on, too. Kind of getting back to your question, yeah, it's easier in some regards, you know, with email and cell phones and stuff. And back when I first started, of course, yeah, it was all landlines, and you had to call and hope somebody was there to answer the phone. Now you can call your contact's cell phone number and they got the phone on them, you know, or you can shoot them an email and it pops up on their phone. So that technology has really changed. Also, that technology is changing the way we do, like, a remote broadcast and stuff. We can now do remote broadcasts with an iPhone, where we used to have to carry out, you know, 50, 75 pounds worth of equipment. Now we can, you know, take out 5 pounds of equipment and a cell phone, and we're good to go.
Well, what's next for Mark and Linda Swenson? As you officially full time anyway, let go of your headphones and microphone.
Well, God works in his own way. We had talked some about the fact that both of our kids, who are Riggs High graduates, live in the St. Louis area. And my daughter's been there for, I think, about 14 years, and I think my son's been down there for maybe close to 20 years, if not 20 years. And we decided we just want to be closer to our kids and our grandkids, and so we are moving to Marthasville, Missouri, the end of this month. And we are so excited and looking forward to it. Everything fell into place. On a whim, we listed our condominium for sale, thinking that it would take quite a bit of time to sell. And we did a exclusive listing on Thursday, and on the following Tuesday, we had two offers for the asking price. So God said, time to go. So then I flew my wife down to St. Louis, and she and my daughter went out and found us a house, and we're in the process of packing right now.
Packing, that's tons of fun.
Yep, yep.
Well, you know, any other parts of radio, your radio history, your radio career that you want to mention before I let you go here today?
You know, I'm very proud also of another aspect of this business that I've been involved in since 1984. The corporate name is Midwest Information Systems, but people know it better as the American Ag Network and the Dakota News Network. Bob, going back to Bob Inkstead, back in 1984, we decided that, he was the brains. He was a very intelligent, radio savvy guy. We decided to start a network. There was already an ag network that was operating in the Dakotas, but we thought that we could effectively compete with them. And technology had changed. Talk about technology. Back before 1984, most all of the statewide radio networks across the United States were being operated via phone lines to each individual affiliate. Well, it became cost efficient that when we launched our network, we actually did satellite delivery and put satellite receivers at our affiliates and satellite uplink at our main studios for the networker in Fargo. And we grew that out. That's been since 1984. It's been a very integral part of what I do.
News, sports, and farm, right?
At news, sports, and farm, yep. And we recently added, we're launching a national show. It's called Adams on Agriculture. It's on KGFX at 1 o'clock. We're signing affiliates around the nation and very pleased that we were able to land Mike Adams as the host of that program, because he has so many contacts. I mean, he can call senators and congressmen and ag secretaries and get through to them.
And they know him by name.
Yep, yeah. And know him by name, exactly. So we're very excited about that. We just launched that back on the 1st or 5th of March or whatever it was. And so it's still a big work in progress, but it's fun. And I'm still going to be involved in that whole project. So,
well, Mark, I tell you what. I hit 20 years in radio this month, and obviously you've been around in South Dakota, the farm broadcasting side of things, as long as I've been around. So it'll be weird to be at a few of these meetings and have you not there.
Well, I plan to attend. My understanding is this year's National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention that is held annually in Kansas City. My understanding is this is the 75th anniversary of the Farm Broadcasting Association. So I'm going to make that convention. I've
you won't have
missed,
nearly as long a drive this time.
No. I've only missed, I've probably missed that convention probably less than five times since 1984. A couple of years ago, I got a 35-year member pin from NAFB. So,
nice.
So, yeah, it's something probably a lot of folks in Pierre don't know about me, because it's, I'm always associated with KGFX, Dakota Radio Group. But really proud of what we've done, been able to accomplish also with the American Ag Network. Absolutely. And Dakota News Network.
Again, Mark Swenson, who is retiring here from Dakota Radio Group and KGFX at the end of May 2018. Thank you for all of you've done to build the stations into what we are today and helping bring me on board. I sure appreciate it. And best wishes to you and Linda and your entire family.
Thanks, Jody.
Although retiring, Mark will continue to provide guidance for the owners and employees of the Dakota Radio Group, the American Ag Network, and the Dakota News Network. Mark and his wife, Linda, will move to the St. Louis, Missouri area, where they'll get to spend time with their kids and grandkids. For KGFX Beyond the Mic, I'm Jody Heemstra.